and welcome to the second KungFuology.com podcast. My name is Jake Newby, and with me here in the studio is my fellow blogger, Andy Best.
Hello.
And for those of you who missed the first one last week, basically this podcast is me and Andy sitting around for 2 to 3 hours swapping hair care tips, and it's all sponsored by our good friends at Pepsi.
Well, we had a great response from the first podcast. A lot of kind emails, thank you very much. A lot of link love from other sites and blogs, much more frequented than our own blog. So, you know, I've got a bit of pressure now. We've got some pressure to perform. And I just hope that we can keep it up while we're aware that everybody is listening to us do it.
I think we need a laughter track, don't we, on these?
Yeah, we need a laugh track, yeah. That was the only gag of the show, I'm afraid. And since we were talking about Pepsi, most shows tend to look for a corporate sponsor where they plug a product. And, you know, we like to think we do things a bit differently over at the blog. So once a week, we're going to slander a product totally. So we might as well start with Pepsi. Yeah, Pepsi. Nasty, sticky water, evilly marketed to kids. And you're not even the real one.
It's Shanghai Coke, isn't it?
That's exactly it's right. So that was our spot for the week. Pepsi, bad. Boo. Boo.
See, it's comments like that, Andy, that I think make a lot of people feel that you're just not political enough. And speaking of which, that was smooth, wasn't it?
Great.
One of the first things we're going to talk about on the podcast today is the sort of recent spate of articles about Chinese bands and whether or not they are political or whether they're being political enough, which is one of the latest ones come through. We're going to take a look back at last weekend at some of the shows that we went to, including Mi San Dao, the big punk night that we talked up on the last pod. And we'll also take a look towards this coming weekend with some big gigs going on around about town.
Great.
Sounds good, doesn't it? Right, it does. So our first item then, we were going to talk about some of these political articles that have been coming out about Chinese bands. So generally, there's been a lot of interest and increasing interest in Chinese music and underground rock music and bands in a lot of the Western press. I think it's fair to say that the vast majority of these concentrate on the Beijing scene.
Yeah, this is... It's not a coincidence. I mean, Beijing's a famous scene, and with the existence of Maybe Mars and the fact that they kind of, you know, are publicising and pushing their acts internationally a bit better. I mean, other acts go to Europe, Subs went to Europe, the Honeys have been abroad. It's not only the Maybe Mars acts, but they've been pushing it a little bit. And we've seen over the past few months a spate of articles in places like The Economist, Time magazine, smaller ones like Time Out magazine, but we've seen these English language articles starting to come from abroad, especially America, and they all seem to have something in common. So this is the point. It's an article came out recently, yet another one saying, here's a rock scene in China, here's a punk scene, but they're not political. Why aren't they openly decrying the government? And this latest one was posted on China Music Radar. Now, we were all like, oh, it's another one. It's lazy. It doesn't go into depth. Not very fair, but never mind. Let's ignore it. But China Music Radar posted up the article. So I decided, yeah, let's write a big post around this. We had a lot of people on the comments, including Michael Pettis from Maybe Mars, D22. A lot of great comments, and it turned into a bit of a discussion. So here we are, bringing it up on the pod.
I think the thing that really distinguished this one was that while some of the articles have discussed the issue of whether Chinese bands are or aren't political, this article kind of went to the stage of saying, well, why aren't they, you know, they're not political enough. And I mean, this was the sort of the crux of it, really, that it all centered around the writer Alice Liu saying, you know, some of these bands are making these kind of vague political statements, but why aren't they doing more to challenge the government and to challenge the system? And you know, I mean, you on your blog, Andy, obviously went through and
yeah, I don't want to get into a huge lengthy thing here, because believe me, I can go on and on until the break of dawn about, well, just about anything you want me to go on about. But the crux of the matter is, there's a general consensus that these articles have unfair expectations. They're based on premises that, rock bands have to overthrow governments, that all rock and indie is political. Or not just political, because in my article I talk about how political has many different meanings, and, it's not clearly defined in their articles. They're just throwing stuff out and saying, you're Chinese, we think blah, blah, blah of your government, why aren't you doing something? And they're kind of making up special circumstances for these bands. And like I said, I don't want to drone on about it, but Michael Pettis came in the comments and he took it back to a, simple starting point with a quote I'm going to read out. You're going to hear my... that's my notes rustling because we use notes.
People are going to be shocked at this point because they're going to realise we actually prepared something.
That's right. That's a note. Believe me, there's writing on this paper. And what Michael wrote on the comments was, William Burroughs once said that a critic can only legitimately ask two questions of a work of art. What is the artist trying to do? And how well did they pull it off? And Michael went on to say that most writing about Chinese music fails this pretty reasonable test. And that is a good starting point. Yeah,
I think that pretty succinctly, you know, says you know, everything about those articles, really. Yeah,
and what we saw was we had a wide range of opinions about the article itself. Archie Hamilton of Splitworks over at China Music Radar, he felt some of the questions being asked in the article, which you can link to via the blog, we'll link it under this pod, were quite legitimate questions, even if some of the other parts of it weren't satisfactory. He felt some of the questions do need to be asked. Other people came on supporting other parts. And if you go and check out the comments, there's a lot of intelligent comment, but there's a consensus. And the consensus is that these articles have unfair expectations, unreal expectations. They don't define their terms. And also, it's kind of like lazy journalism. I mean, you can't come out an article and say, look at Car Sick Cars, look at Maybe Mars bands, they're not political. Why? When you've got bands like The Subs or PK14 or any number of bands, Mi San Dao, that we saw, who are continuously political, as in they talk about issues and they talk openly about action to do with issues. They do exist. And, you know, it's just lazy journalism, basically.
Well, you mentioned Mi San Dao there. So this is, you know, the legendary Beijing punk band. They're anti-fascist, just to reiterate.
That's right.
Skinhead band. And we talked about them a little bit on the podcast last week, and we were previewing this gig and saying this, you know, should be a big show, right, on Friday at Mao.
Yeah, so we had two shows, two significant shows with attraction. Although I say that now, we're going to get onto what actually happened. We billed it as two shows with a lot of attracting power in two venues, Yuyintang and the newly opened Mao Live. And they were basically going head to head. Here were two shows that people who go out all the time are both interested in. Who's going to win out? Is it going to be the Culture Clash night at Yuyintang featuring Boys Climbing Ropes, Duck Fight Goose, Uyghur, a band who recently won the Global Battle of the Bands, Shanghai Leg? Or is it going to be the traditional punk night of Beijing bands over at Mao, which was Mi San Dao, Hell City, and more importantly, Mortal Fools, as we talked about in their last gig with the current lineup. But actually, there were shocks all round. So Jake's going to explain the general atmosphere and the situation at Mao Live, which we were both at.
Yeah, so I turned up at Mao around about 9:30. I plumped with Mao, incidentally, because partly because it was Mortal Fools' last gig with their current lineup, and because I hadn't seen Mi San Dao before. But I mean, you know, like you say, it was a big face-off between these two nights. So I was really quite torn. But yeah, so I rocked up at Mao about 9:30 and went in, and it was dead. I mean, there was hardly anyone there.
I was there.
Well, you were there, yeah, but you don't count.
I don't count, yeah.
There really was
me and my two friends.
Yeah, you, your two friends. Archie was there as well, actually, and But yeah, there really weren't very many people there at all.
Right. I'm not even sure Archie likes me. I think he just wanted to check out Mal.
I wasn't counting him as one of your friends. I was saying he was separate. Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Me and my one friend were there, who was actually my wife. So yeah. Anyway,
don't let a little me stop insight it. Into our lives there. But anyway, but yeah. So we, you know, I got in, and yeah, there's hardly anyone there. There's a few tables set up around the outside with you know, candlelit tables. Up in the bar area, which is fine. And they're playing sort of soul music and, you know, sort of...
Yeah, wasn't that
cheesy,
wasn't
kind of
that
R&B
weird?
Stuff.
Yeah.
Which wasn't really the kind of atmosphere I was expecting. We're going into a, you know, what we build as quite a big punk night, really.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think it's fair to say that the turnout was disappointing.
Yeah, I think there was probably about, at the highest point, maybe 50 people in the whole place, including the band's friends, in a venue that would comfortably hold 600 people. And for whatever reason, be it the marketing, the appeal, or whatever happened on the night, for whatever reason, it was basically a failure from an organisational point of view.
I mean, yeah, you say, like, I mean, the venue, it can hold, you know, 600, maybe more, but it needs, I'd say, at least 300 to, you know, have a decent sort of atmosphere. I mean, you know, with a punk night, and a few people's kind of jumping around and throwing themselves about, maybe you can get away with, say, 100 or so. Like, if it was in a small venue, a smaller venue like Yuyantan, there it wouldn't seem so obvious. But the point about Mao is that it's so big, and it's, you know, it's really cavernous if you've only got a few people like that.
Yeah, and before we get back onto the bands, you've just reminded me of something. So I had a couple of emails today asking me about Soma Art Management and Mao, and you know what they're doing, why they're in the venue. Just a couple of inquiries, which I get now and again because of having the blog. And as part of that, I directed someone back to the original post about when Soma tried the similar thing in the Dream Factory.
Mm.
It was a bit controversial. We're not going to talk about that now, but I went back to a post which had some controversy when Soma decided to become the sole promoters to use the Dream Factory. There's a lot of comments on the blog, including a very interesting one, which I'm going to go back to now, by Brad Ferguson, who at the time had a long run of promoting gigs independently, and he'd just done a big show in the Dream Factory called Control. It had Boys Climbing Ropes, Rogue Transmission, and PK-14. That was a great show, and it was... I'm not sure about how much money it made or didn't, but I mean, he got the place pretty full, and it was a good gig. And he'd commented that opening up a larger venue as a weekly larger venue is going to need support at the beginning, because this is just what you were saying. What looks like a full atmospheric show in Yuyantang, if you take the same amount of people, because we're talking a good night at Yuyantang is 300. A rammed night like a Retros or a Hedgehog night is 400.
Right.
When people are just falling out into the park.
Yeah, watching.
It's amazing, like Reflector, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it happens once every 6 weeks, and it's great. But if you took the sort of average Yuyantang night, 150 to 200 people, and you put them into Mao, that's dead.
Yeah.
So the fact that Yuyantang's full or Live Bar's full is not an indicator, right? But let's not dwell on this too much. Let's get onto the bands, because the bands were absolutely excellent. I'll kick off with Mortal Falls. Tim, you know, if you're listening, mate, don't leave the band. I mean,
don't do it
was
me, tight.
It was yeah, don't do it to us. It was an amazing, amazing traditional punk band with our lads from Shanghai. Although, of course, Frank the singer's from Beijing, and he has the thickest Beijing accent you have ever heard in your life. It's outrageous. And yeah, it is. It's like he sings with sock in his mouth, but it's punk, so it's cool. And they just played a great set. They were on the big stage. They had a great sound. They were a tight unit. Levi, the bassist, Levi Wong, and Tim on drums were just... They didn't have to... They had the communication there, right? They had the understanding.
They just have such a natural understanding, and they're just so tight as a unit. And they just play off each other brilliantly, you know?
And they kicked off a night of really tight, professional, traditional punk, and one of them turned out to be quite hardcore/metalcore punk nights. And if they had an audience there, this would have been great.
That's the real tragedy, you know, is that the bands were just fantastic, and they deserved a you know, a big crowd and a great atmosphere. And, you know, in a venue like Mao, if you did get the crowd in with those bands and that sound system and that stage, it could have been fantastic. I mean, it was, you know, and the performances were great, But yeah, it was just a shame there weren't more people there. But I mean, Mortal Falls, yeah, I'm a big fan of Mortal Falls. I just think they're a great band, and they don't know really how to give anything less than 100%. You know, it was such a, they sort of looked around, they saw there weren't that many people there. They didn't really care. They just still played a blinding set.
Absolutely. And what about the other bands? So we had three bands from Beijing. Hell City.
Yeah, Hell City were good. Hell City, their lead singer has an incredible Mohican.
It rules.
Yeah.
It's massive.
But if you look at his face, he looks like this timid sort of young lad, actually, but it's quite interesting. But yeah, they were good. They were a bit more metal than punk, I would say, despite their appearances.
Dan Shapiro, if he doesn't mind me mentioning him here, who's in the Rogue Transmission, and he's a bit of a scene fixture, and he writes a blog for cityweekend.com, and I just said .com, and I have no idea if that's their actual address at all.
.com.cn, I think.
I don't know. I don't want to plug them, but I like Dan's blog, and you can, they're going to get the slander treatment next week. Next week it's going to be City Weekend and why they're a terrible mag.
I look forward to that one.
I'm only Dan's joshing. Except for Dan's bit. And that's Dan's, what I'm saying. Dan's got a blog there. We like it. Yeah, it's rocking lately. Dan was there, and Dan was he was very amused with, in a good way, at Hell City when they just broke out the metal riffs. And it was a great show. Anyway, what about, I don't want to go on too long about it, but let's talk about the band of the night. That our pick was Mi San Dao. So did you feel they lived up to the hype?
Yeah, I think they did. I mean, these guys, they're getting on a bit now because they've been around a fairly long time. But I mean, they are, they are really genuine skinheads, right? I mean, they do the whole thing. And I mean, going back to the sort of political articles just briefly, Mi San Dao, their entire set was just one big fuck you to the government. I mean, the lead singer guy was just screaming, you know, fuck you Chinese police, fuck you to the government, like the whole time.
Good dig at the expo as well.
Yeah, he did. He had a dig at the expo straight away.
He digged the Olympics the last time they were here a year ago as well. Yeah.
Well, yeah, he came, you know, after they played their first song, first thing he said was about the expo and about the government and Shanghai and stuff. And I mean, I think I wrote on
middle fingers all around.
His middle finger was up just pretty much the entire set. So I don't know how anyone, you know, I don't know if that was political enough for some people, but I was really impressed with him, definitely.
That's right. And meanwhile, over at Yuyantang for the Culture Class night, we were not there.
we weren't, but we've spoken to people who were, and we've got a sort of, you know, fairly good idea of what went down, I think, as good as we can secondhand. Mm. So I actually saw one of the organisers from Laia Bodza at the weekend after the Culture Clash night.
Right.
Culture Clash. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I said Culture Clash before too.
Yeah. And they said that basically they had around about 250 people in, which, as we were just saying, at Yuyantang, you know, that's a good turnout.
Yeah, there's atmosphere there. You can get into the dancing and the jumping a bit. Yeah.
Right, so the bands were Uyghur, Dovetail Joints, Duck Fight Goose, and Boys Climbing Ropes. And by all accounts, they all gave great sets. Right?
Yeah, and I had a very interesting... I'm hesitating. I'm pausing. I'm not stuttering. I'm pausing because one of the people who gave us a report, you know, off the record, privately, was someone who I like to say our friend, but, you know, I don't know him that well. But Morgan, if you're listening, you know, let's get closer because, you know, I think we have a lot in common. And I'm going to use this public platform to propose a deeper manship, friendship, bro, whatever it is. Anyway, Morgan Short, the bass player for Boys Climbing Ropes, who also plays in a band called Resist Resist, his more recent kind of electronic-based synth-pop kind of act. And
we're playing this Friday, incidentally, at Yuyantang.
That's right. Go and check him out. He gave me a big, long email telling me what happened that night. And like I said, I was hesitating about saying these things. It was quite amusing. I mean, they went on about 2 a.m. And Morgan said he'd basically stolen everybody else's drink tickets. And his memories of his performance were, and I haven't got them in front of me to read off, but it was jamming his bass into the ceiling fan and trying to stick his head through the bass bin.
Yeah. And telling Sacco to fuck off, because I think Sacco kept requesting Weezer songs.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
And I think Morgan just told him to fuck off, basically.
So this actually sounded like quite a good night. So I hope if you did go, you stuck around to the bitter end. That sounded like fun.
The annoying thing is, actually, if Boys Climbing Ropes didn't go on until 2:30, is that it probably could have gone on after I'd been at Mal, but I didn't say.
Yeah, what and to wrap that bit up, I mean, yeah, we called it out as a head-to-head, and I guess we'd have to admit defeat on our pick, although, you know, the bands did rule, and next time you hear of a traditional punk night, don't dismiss it. Get on out. So
especially if we pick it instantly.
Yeah, that's right. If we pick something, you bastards.
Don't make us look like idiots. Like.
Yeah, go, or we'll kill you. Okay, with a spoon. Okay, carry on.
So another show that I caught up at the weekend, just to go over this briefly, was up at Live Bar on the Saturday night.
The Yangpu Live Bar or the Downtown Live Bar?
This is the Yangpu Live Bar, so out in the sticks a little bit. Although now they've got Line 4 Metro out there, it's actually quite close.
Let me just break this down. Well, let me not use that language. Let me just explain this simply for people who are new to the... Okay, let me just break it down. So I'm going to break it down here. The original sort of pre-2000 scene wasn't downtown. It was based in the Fudan University, or there's a few universities, the old university district, Yangpu district, which is in the northeast of Shanghai. Correct me if I'm wrong, the traditional campuses are in or about the Wujiaochang area and there or thereabouts, right?
Yeah.
Which is actually quite a hike out of the city. But that's where the original bars were. I mean, Live Bar's actually fairly recent. The original bars was like a Tribesman. It's one that's talked about by the 90s people. But the scene was kind of based around the student area then. But it's since come downtown. On the blog, you can read all about the F Visa ghetto or the hipster paradise or these sort of jokey posts we make about it. But there's still a couple of bars up there, including the original Live Bar, a bar called 021, maybe a couple of universities put gigs on, I'm not sure. But this is where the scene used to be, and Live Bar's still up there. So Jake made the trek.
It is still up there, but I've got to wonder how long it's going to be there for, really. It's in like an old, I think it's an old like chemical factory, the building that houses Live Bar. It's pretty rustic, I think.
You've just reminded me of the massive omission I just did. Sorry, the original venue up there, Tribesman was the bar. The original attempt at a venue was called Gua R Sus 2, and it was famously in a steel factory, which is where the kind of the original gig-type gigs, non-bar gigs, were first sort of... was set up. So sorry, carry on. I does a massive omission on my
Well, no, I mean, the thing is that those types of buildings, though, are all being knocked down at the moment. So that whole area around where Live Bar is, they're developing it and trying to turn it into what they're calling the North Bund, which is a bit of a stretch, I think.
It's quite far away from
right. It's a little bit of a stretch of their artistic license and naming.
7 or 8 kilometers inland or something right. like that.
But so all these kind of old buildings and everything, all these streets around Live Bar, they're all being torn down. And you've got to wonder, really, the sort of developments that are going up around it, how long Live Bar has left.
Okay.
Which may be a reason why they've opened this new downtown location at Weihai Lu.
Yeah, although I heard it's kind of a franchise deal, but that's getting onto another subject. So who did you see up there?
So I saw Runaway Snail.
Fanchia Chow Dance.
I should let you enunciate that one again. Yeah. So I saw them again. I'd seen them the weekend before at the Ling Ling Zhou San showcase, which you would have heard us talk about in the last podcast. And I was so impressed that I decided to make the hike out of town up into Yangpu District, into the wilds of Yangpu, and go and watch them again. They were also there was also supposed to be New Vector up there, but unfortunately New Vector pulled out at the last minute. Fanchia Chow Dan just said they had a thing, a shuching.
Right.
Which is a fairly blanket term in Chinese, but I didn't push it any more than that. We didn't want to inquire, it's not my place. But I did see Runaway Snail, who were, again, excellent, really impressive again.
Great.
And also saw Caramel Mint, who are a band I hadn't seen before.
Yeah, and there's a big sort of featured post on Jake's blog in about 2 or 3 posts back now.
Yeah, I think so.
So, if you're really suave, modern, trendy, and hip to the interwebs, you'll have this open in one window, and you'll have Jake's blog open in a new window, and you can kind of check this out as we're going. So if you're not doing that, come on, get it together.
Well, exactly. So, but yeah, no, Caramel Mint, they were really good. I really like them. I hadn't seen them before. I think they're a fairly new band. They've only played a few gigs. But they seem to have their, you know, they seem to have it together, and they, the lead singer in particular, I thought was really impressive. She's got a great voice, and she just seemed she just seemed to be really enjoying herself up there on stage.
How many people do you get at a show like that in live bar now?
Not that many, to be honest.
It's a small place, though, right?
It is a small place, and they've sort of remodeled it a bit. So they've stuck the well, since the last time I went, which was a while ago, admittedly, they've put the bar at the back now. And they've put a sort of table down the middle, which kind of allows them to have fewer people in without it seeming, you know, particularly sparse.
Right.
I mean, it was mostly the bands and their friends there, basically. But there were actually, I don't know, about a dozen or so foreigners there, which was interesting for me, because it was a fairly, you know, it was just a few local bands and new bands as well, not particularly developed bands. And you know, there was it wasn't a bad turnout at all.
Okay, and so how about I'm hesitating again, because here we go. Fanchurch, how Dan? Any differences in the confidence? They do any different songs? What was it like?
Well, they played a few. Because they're a new band, Runaway Snail, they've only got a handful of songs. So it's kind of odd when they headline, really, because they only, you know, they have like four or five songs at the moment.
Right.
But I mean, it wasn't massively different to the last performance. The Lei Feng Notebook was there again.
Excellent.
But, you know, it was, they sort of switched up the arrangement of some of the songs, like the one we talked about last time that referenced Top Floor Circus, sort of started a little slower this time, and they before kicking in. And there's a video of that song, actually. It's called Changed. There's a video of that on the blog, so you can check out what I'm talking about there. But yeah, it was a great performance again. And after they sort of played their songs, they came down off stage, hung out for a little bit, and then went back on and did a couple of Fanchurch Hao Dan's own songs, with the other members of Runaway Snail kind of improvising. They hadn't practiced any of them together before, so they kind of, just improvised and sort of played along a bit.
Okay.
But by this time, it was getting late and people were heading home. And, you know, that's probably one of the problems of live bar being so far out, is that especially the younger kids, like they go home pretty early. So.
Okay, well, talking of live bar, this brings us into my next item, which is I'm going to go to the downtown live bar at the Wei Hai Road 696 Centre, which is a kind of... it's not always open to the public. It's like an old building full of art studios. And they're not all galleries you can just visit. But, I mean, it's kind of a famous art scene place. And Live Bar have opened up a franchise or a branch in this centre. And they've got names. Is it the Downtown Garage? Sound Garage?
It's Sound Garage, isn't it?
Sound Garage,
yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to go and check it out tomorrow night, Friday night, which is the first of our two previews here. And the band I want to see are Second. Now, Second are currently the lead post on my blog, because they post up a video from their 0093 Night at Mal performance. So, and it's, when I say it's bad quality, the song's clear and you can see what's going on, but it looks like it's been done on a flash phone as opposed to a bad camera.
There's someone singing along as well, is that
there
you?
There is. It's not me, but you can hear someone singing along, like, without words as well. Like, he's like going da 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 dum da dum to the guitar riff. It's quite funny.
It adds a layer to it, I think.
Yeah, so you can check them out. They're an all-girl band. They're quite a new band, but they take it very, very seriously. They perform properly. They've got all their own material. They play pretty well on the Mao night. They're starting to put together a kind of a show. They're starting to, you know, have some moves, and they're definitely worth keeping an eye on. And someone came in the comments on the video and said they sounded a bit like J-Rock, which I think's kind of like fair comment. So if you're looking for, you know, an anchor to get an idea of the music, it's sort of like J-Rock or all-girl rock group. But, I mean, it's pretty much traditional rock, and this is all a bit redundant because you should have my blog now open in another window, and you can play the video, you know, right now or directly after the podcast. Also appearing on the bill that night is a band called Lei Ren, or Lightning People, and I'm not a negative person. I've seen them before. This band Lei Ren, I've got a lot of people in the lineup. They're kind of like a cut price Top Floor Circus.
Yeah, they're sort of a comedy Shanghainese band, right?
Yeah, they get on stage, they use Shanghainese, make a lot of jokes, they wear masks, they do a bit of on stage theater, kind of like in the mold of Top Floor Circus. Whereas Top Floor Circus are very, it seems kind of loose and improvised, but it's not, it's tight. The songs are short, they have impact, they have a segment. Liu Chan really knows what he's doing and how to command the audience. Whereas Lei Ren, not as experienced, not as well rehearsed, a little bit less serious, and they...
It really is haphazard with
that. Yeah, it is a little bit haphazard.
It's not
yeah.
practiced haphazard. It's just actual yeah. haphazard.
So a little bit, like, I don't want to sound mean, but they're a little bit like the bargain basement top floor circus. But
they are a bit.
You can see the potential. But I mean, I'm going there to see Second, basically. So
I think Second, I have to say, the first time I saw Second, I wasn't particularly blown away by them. I think I wrote up on the blog, the first time I saw them, I think, was the Shanghai Night Fever night back in the summer. And I wasn't all that taken with them. But I have to say, they've grown on me a lot. And I think their act is, their show's really coming together now. And I think they're really improving as a band. And yeah, definitely one to watch.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, big event coming up. How to preface this. We talked before about... Now and again, Yu Yin Tang every 6 weeks or so has a so-called big show where there's like 400 people, it's packed, it's a dance, jump, mosh, whatever you want to call it, sort of its action happens, and it's just a great night, it's just a great Yu Yin Tang night. And I'm hesitating again because of what we picked Mi San Dao and no one came.
Yeah, right.
I don't
want to
curse
this
yeah.
one, right?
I don't want to get into this thing where our podcast curses a night, because this is also going up head-to-head with Halloween. So, but anyway, on Saturday night, 24 Hours, the Xi'an band who moved to Beijing, signed with Maybe Mars, and they're a big thing now. They're touring to promote their first CD, which is not only done by Maybe Mars. I mean, it's produced by a guy called Martin Atkins, who worked with Nine Inch Nails. It really is a big deal. There's two songs out right now, one of which, called Your Song, will be playing at the end of this pod.
It's not a cover of Elton John's Your Song.
That's
different,
right.
Different Your Song. It's their own Your Song.
Yeah, and yeah, and
it's
currently, yeah,
Your Song. Yeah.
And currently, yes, exactly. And currently, that's exactly what I meant. And currently on Jake's blog is a video for the other promo at the moment, Mr. Stevenson. And the CD sounds like $1 million. They've racked up a lot of performance time recently. I mean, they are ready to come down with their kind of indie dance rock. Catchy songs, great hooks, they've got a great performance, they're going to come down and by all means rock Yu Yin Tang, and that's going to be a great gig. And there's only one choice you've got here. I mean, do you dress up like a twat in some shit costume and wander around being a drunken arse, or go to a theme night, or go to your mate's house party, or do you just say, you know what, this year, balls to all that Halloween nonsense, I'm just going to go to see a great band at a great place. Well, bring your costume, you know. I'll only hit you a couple of times.
And be a drunken ass if you want. I'll probably be a drunken ass.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, be that. But be this at Yu Yin Tang. I know it's not a themed, you know, Halloween party with a deal, like if you wear a certain costume. You don't have to zombie walk anywhere. But, you know, you can zombie walk in Yu Yin Tang. It's
you can
a great
zombie walk
band,
in
yeah.
time to 24 Hours.
That's yeah. right, yeah. As long as it's not a Michael Jackson Thriller tribute, otherwise I'm going to have to slap you again, because I live almost next door to Shanghai Film City, where they had the This Is It premiere, and I was walking
Josh
to the...
Jiang,
yeah, well,
the,
yeah,
the Chinese
I was walking...
It's a great translation.
Don't want to go off on huge tangents here, but I was walking to All Days last night at about 12:30 at night, and I was suddenly surrounded by masses of Jackson fans in costume. Oh my
was it
God.
A bit like the Thriller video?
It was. I was in the middle of it. Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, 24 Hours, fantastic band. Go check them out. I've seen them a few times live now. Most recently was up at Jangbei at the Grassland Festival there. And yeah, they're a quality act, and really, really looking forward to this one.
Yeah, absolutely. This is going to be one of the big Yu Yin Tang nights.
Hopefully.
Unless everyone pussies out and goes on some sort of like ridiculous Halloween bash thing. But yeah, bring your costume to Yu Yin Tang. Come to Yu Yin Tang.
Incidentally, we should mention as well that they're being supported by Rustic. And Rustic are the band who recently won the Beijing round of the Global Battle of the Bands contest. So Uyghur won the Shanghai round, Rustic won the Beijing round. And they had, in Beijing, they had a lot of bands take part in this competition. There's a bit more about this on the blog. There's a bit of background to what exactly went down in Shanghai and how it differed to what happened in Beijing. But they had several rounds in Beijing. There was that many bands taking part. And yeah. Rustic emerged as the winners of that contest. So
yeah.
They should be a good band to see as well.
And do listen to these bands. I mean, we talked about Second. We talked about Runaway Snail. We talked about 093. Kind of newish bands. We enjoy seeing them. They're good bands. They're up and coming. But 24 Hours, listen to that. Watch that video. It's on Youku. It's not blocked in China. Go to Jake's blog. you'll get the song at the end of this podcast anyway, then watch the video. These are the finished product, and it's going to be a great show of the kind that you just don't get that often here. Now,
on that note, that sounds like about the right time to play a song by 24 hours.
Well, actually, on the contrary, we actually have quite a bit of time left. So, see, let me explain. Our recorder has a clock on one side of it, and it's not the side facing Jake. And I actually did want to legitimately ask you about something because let's go to folk. Mm-hmm. So we mentioned before, Fanchir Chaldan.
Yep.
Leaves the pause for the acknowledged beautiful pronunciation.
Yeah. I'm welling up.
Yeah, Runaway Snail, 0093 folk. And even more so in Beijing, there's a kind of an indie folk scene, which follows the whole sort of like guitar and singer format. Sometimes it incorporates some traditional Chinese folk. You've got the sort of Tibetan-esque and the Mongolian-esque stuff, or the hard folk scene as well, with the growling up in Beijing. And, you know, we've got a lot of time for that because it's definitely part of the indie scene. And recently, a band from Lanzhou went down to Beijing, got themselves signed by Maybe Mars again, and now they're sort of tearing it up and spreading like wildfire and getting a lot of hype. And they were actually down here for a gig, and Jake went.
That's right, on Sunday. So the band is Low Wormwood. And the Maybe Mars album that they've released is called We Can't Help Kissing Each Other, I think. We Can't Stop Kissing Each Other.
It sounds a bit like our studio right here, doesn't it, Jake?
You're painting pictures with words, isn't it? Yeah, it is very much like the atmosphere here. There's a lot of love here, you know.
There is.
But it's a great album, and they are a great band, and their show on Sunday was fantastic. It was actually, that was a well-attended gig, actually, for a Sunday night, they're not the biggest name around, I think it's fair to say.
No, the wildfire hasn't spread here yet, actually. Yeah. I mean, but up in, on the scene, people who know, and up in Beijing, they're like exploding.
People are talking about them a lot, yeah. They were the only band on the bill as well, which is similar to the last sort of big folk show that I saw back at Yuntang, which was Glorious Pharmacy. Or Glamorous Pharmacy, Mei Hao Yao Dian. This is Xiao He's band. And Xiao He actually produced the first EP that Low Wormwood sort of brought out. So it's again, like the folk scene is, you know, there's a lot of kind of overlap and relationships there.
Yeah, and I want to just, again, break it down. As we said before, Xiao He of Glorious or Glamorous Pharmacy gets translated a couple of different ways. I mean, I've seen them live. They're just amazing. I've seen Xiao He's solo set. Amazing. For people who don't know, he is basically like a fixture of the kind of indie folk and indie scene. He's based in Beijing, but he comes down for shows a lot. I'm actually not sure where he's from originally, but I mean, he's a massive scene legend, basically. And if you're a folk act and he produces your CD, that's that's a good thing.
Definitely.
It's like Yang Haisong producing your Love Roxy CD, isn't it?
Should we try and work in a mention to Love Roxy in every podcast?
Let's yeah, talking of mentions, don't forget. Pepsi Cola, arse, junk. Anyway, sorry, I just thought
I'd...
contractually, we have to make two mentions of us, but we have to slander everyone twice during a podcast.
So it's only fair.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Low Wormwood, they're quite different to Glamorous Glorious Pharmacy. Glamorous Glorious Pharmacy are really quite avant-garde, and Xiao He's solo stuff even more so. Low Wormwood, it's kind of folk rock, and they were just a great band. They another one who really kind of bounce off of each other and have a great understanding up on stage. And they're just, you know, you could see them all the time turning towards each other and smiling and kind of, you know, just bringing the music to life through their sort of interactions and things. And it was fantastic. There was a, you know, like I said, good turnout. They seemed fairly dedicated fans. Quite a few people seemed to be from Lanzhou, actually. The guy, the lead singer, actually said that, you know, thanks to some of our friends from the north coming down.
Excellent.
And they just, they just gave a really sort of warm and, you know, a great set. So on my review on the blog, there's a song, the title track from the album that you can check out. There's a link to where you can download it for free. And I'd say just get on that, have a listen, and track the album down, basically.
Excellent. So, which brings us to not a Low Wormwood song. So, this weekend, again, the big plug, 24 Hours Good, Pepsi Bad. We're going to play you this song now by 24 Hours, and it's called Your Song, and we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.
To play.